Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope that you guys are having a great week. You're tuning into the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and coming up in this episode, we have Kim defining and explaining what an emotional affair is. Now, she does this by shedding light in some of the dark corners of this topic. She gives practical tips identifying how you might know you're in an emotional affair. And then she's going to turn back the hands of time and actually tell a story about her own experience post-college. And lastly, she's going to be talking about how privacy is very different from secrecy. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show again.
Hey, John.
You know, I have some droplets on my end. It was actually on my end. I see some rain coming in Texas. Yeah, I know. Do you have any rain on your end?
Not yet, but I will eagerly. I've got hydrangeas out there that are just thirsting. They are just about to keel over if I don't get something out there.
Did I tell you that I have three plants that are alive?
No.
Yes,
indoor, I have three. Outdoor.
They're indoor. And indoor. There's like a group of friends that gave me this plant that even has like a pot that you put water in, and then it has some type of thread that's dipping into the water. And so the pot feeds the plant.
Oh, so you never have to worry if you're overwatering or underwatering.
Exactly. They knew the perfect plant for John Bautista. Isn't that great?
How John can keep a plant alive.
Yeah. How can we have a friend for John?
You have friends.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I have friends. They just, you know, I've wanted a plant. Like, there was a plant that I had a few months ago. I know this is kind of a side story, but I left him outside to be with his friends, you know, with trees.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody took him. Somebody took my plant.
Your plant was stolen?
It was a stolen plant. And I went all over the area to these businesses and offices asking if they've seen somebody with the plant walking around. I was suspicious. It was one of the goofiest afternoons of my life, I'll tell you.
Did you ever find your plant?
I didn't. No one fessed up.
What's the description? Green leaves and roots? What do you do?
I said, hey, have you seen a plant maybe like this high, green? Maybe about 9 leaves. And they're like, John, get out of here.
John, no. Yeah, keep those plants indoors, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very fun experience, let me tell you that. I would have enjoyed being in the office and seeing someone come in and ask me that question.
Have you seen my plant?
And I'm like, look at this. This is insane. Now that's passion.
Have you seen my plant?
That's friendship. It. Yeah. Well, I was very emotionally tied to this plant because, you know, I have kept it alive for like 3 months and then it got stolen. Yeah.
I'm questioning the wisdom of leaving something you're emotionally attached to outside for anybody to take. Let's psychoanalyze that, John.
Well, on the topic of emotions.
redirect.
Yeah. You know, what we wanted to talk about was, about emotion and affairs. So I would like you to introduce the topic and just kind of help us navigate through this idea of emotional affair. And what is it? When does it happen? And when is it not healthy?
Emotional affairs, when are they not healthy? When you're married, they're not healthy. Period. When you're in a relationship, they're not healthy.
Period.
Stay away.
Stay away. Run.
A lot of people get confused about when a relationship is an emotional affair.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when does it cross the line between a good colleague that you spend a lot of time? I mean, these days in our work environments, we spend a lot of time together. We spend more time awake with the people we work with than we do with the people we live with.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
It is very sad. It's very sad.
I don't know if I like that.
We need to change some things. Yes. And so I think I read one time a long time ago. I don't even know where it is, but it's like the average couple spends like, it's like less than 10 minutes a day engaging, like in anything real, you know, other than like what's for dinner kind of thing. Like less than, it's like really exaggeratedly low. But the people that we work with often get most of our energy. They get most of our creativity. They get, and so it's very easy for deep relationships to form. And in today, in our very transient world, we're even traveling with our coworkers, right? And so you have to have really good boundaries in place, but it's easy to blur the lines between close colleague or close friend and emotional affair. So I think this is a good thing to talk about.
Yeah. And what I've seen is that it happens under the radar. Like people in relationships don't know how vulnerable they're becoming. Mm-hmm. As they're going to work, you know, they're struggling, they have some issues at home, and, you know, it's natural for human connection and to reach out for that type of support. Like it, mm-hmm. a lot of it sometimes happens under the radar.
It does. And if you're married to someone who's developing strong emotional ties to someone else, it can feel very threatening.
Yeah.
You know, to pick up your spouse's phone and see personal conversations happening with someone and wondering just how deep it goes.
Yeah. Right?
So I do see a lot of emotional affairs, and quite honestly, physical affairs often start with emotional affairs, unless you're talking about just, you know, going to a prostitute or one night stands mm-hmm. or, you know, hookups. Physical affairs often start with emotional affairs. And so it's wise to know, and it's good to be talking about with your spouse and have parameters set for what you're comfortable with and what you're not. Yeah. We call it affair proofing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you'll see these. Have you ever seen people who have like two names on their Facebook account, like John and Kim?
Oh yeah.
On their Facebook, and you're like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, like, is their spouse so controlling that they have to know everything? Could be, but when I see that, what I think is they're being extra conscientious about transparency and making sure that one or both aren't vulnerable.
Yes, it's like a safeguard.
It's like a safeguard, right? Yeah. Now, it can be controlling. It can be too much dependency on each other. It sure can be, but that's not where I tend to go first with that in my thinking. And so like when I was in the corporate world early on, you know, I wasn't always a therapist. I used to be.
You weren't.
I was not always a therapist.
How did you not always do this your whole life?
And so I was an accountant, and I would, you know, do a lot of business lunches with powerful men. And so my husband and I had kind of parameters set aside, not because he was afraid I would cheat on him, but because we just wanted to make sure that we didn't have the opportunity for something to develop that would threaten our relationship.
Yeah, like you wanted to establish a sense of safety.
Yeah.
No matter where you are.
Where we are. And so we call it, like I said, affair proofing. And so you're getting in trouble when you're talking to someone else about things that you feel like you have to hide from your spouse. There's a danger sign right there. Like, mm-hmm. I would not want my spouse to read this. If I'm sending a text or an email, or if my spouse was sitting at the next table listening in, I wouldn't say these things. Like if that starts happening, you're in danger zone big time.
Yeah. Can you define what an emotional affair is real quick?
So an emotional affair is, I define it as opening vulnerability into a relationship that is inappropriate for the type of relationship that it is with the opposite sex, where romantic feelings are also involved or could develop. Right?
So, I think that's where people get mixed up, is that they don't think there's an opportunity for this to develop. Mm. And so they don't see any wrong.
Yeah.
Or they're being vulnerable. Yes.
Or they're just not owning it. Like, they don't want to admit it because, you know, you're enjoying the relationship. You're getting mm-hmm. something from it. You're getting comfort, or you're getting camaraderie, or mm-hmm. this person's hilarious and you love to spend time together. Like, you're mm-hmm. getting something from it and you don't want to give that up. And so you keep telling yourself, this is nothing.
Mm.
It's just friends. We're just friends. Mm. But I read a book one time. I can't remember the name of it. Maybe it was Getting Past the Affair. I don't know. But the book talked about windows and doors.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's boundaries, right? So windows are, you can see into people, and doors you cannot. And so your spouse, you should have windows with. Because intimacy is intimacy, you see, right? Yeah. I say that a lot. So intimacy, intimacy, you see. So windows, I see into you. I'm looking through windows. And doors are, I cannot see into you. And so I know you, but I don't necessarily see into you, right? Mm. I'm not an open book for you, and you are not an open book for me. And so when you start having more windows with someone else and doors with your spouse, problem.
Mm.
Problem. If you start sharing with another person problems and issues you have with your spouse, and you're not sharing that with your spouse, big problem.
Yeah.
I see people getting sucked into these things in all kinds of ways. Like, she's a single mom and I just need to help her because she doesn't have somebody who can do these things for her. So, you know, and then it can get couched in being a good Christian. Like, I'm just there to help. And mm-hmm. I've seen relationships happen over Bible studies. Like, for real. Oh, like, you know, you become vulnerable, more transparent and open, and right. sharing deep thoughts and feelings with someone. And so you just have to be aware that kind of transparency and vulnerability can be a problem, especially if your spouse is not a part of the process, or they're not being aware of how this is playing out. Right. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So like one of the things that I was thinking is, I mean, what a disadvantage is the relationship that you're in when you're not even giving the opportunity to your partner to know these things that you're struggling with, wrestling with, are frustrated over. And instead telling somebody who doesn't have the investment, mm-hmm. give you the vulnerability, but they don't have any of the investment of how hard this is or the relationship. So, I mean, in some way you're disadvantaging your relationship.
So let me tell you about something that happened. So I was right out of college and I was studying for the CPA exam. I was an accountant and And I was working for this man who, I just loved him. He was smart and he worked with I lived in Nashville at the time. So a lot of our clients were these big wig country music stars, you know?
Yeah.
So, he was always like going to these places and he'd be like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, and meet Travis Tritt. Sure, I'll go, you know? And so we started doing that. And he was married and had kids. And I was, like I said, right out of college. And so we were having lunch and I had a really, and still do, a close relationship with my mom. And I remember telling my mom that he and this gentleman and I were going to lunch. And mom's like, you've been going to lunch a lot with him lately. And I'm like, well, yeah, because, you know, we work together. I'm naive, just whatever, right out of school. And mom's like, what do you talk about? And I said, well, we talk about work and, you know, his family and things like that. And mom said, does he complain about his wife? And I said, well, maybe a little. And mom goes, Kim, you better watch yourself because this is how this thing starts. And I'm thinking, oh, mom, you're being so dramatic. You're being so dramatic.
Uh-huh.
And she said, when they start telling you what they're not getting at home,
mm.
they're priming the pump. And I'm like, he wouldn't do this. He's respectable. He's whatever. And she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So I go to lunch that day, and I'll be dadgum if that day he didn't really lay it on thick that he was not happy in his marriage.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, was he hitting on me? I don't know. I don't know, but it scared me to death. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to.
Wow.
I'm not going to participate in this. And I wasn't a marriage therapist at the time either. So I wasn't like, let's talk about your marriage. You know, I'm like.
And you weren't married, right? At the time?
No, like, I wasn't married.
But even then you saw that there was like a sense of vulnerability that was being given to you mm-hmm. that wasn't given to his wife.
Very uncomfortable.
Wow.
I was very uncomfortable.
What's your mom's name?
Barbara.
Shout out to Barbara. Barbara.
Shout out to Barbara. Shout out to Barbara. Yeah.
You saved your daughter.
Yeah. No, but, you know, and it was a power dynamic. He's successful. And I seem to remember he was pretty good looking. That was 30 years ago. So he was pretty good looking, too. But, you know, take me out to nice places to lunch. I'm this poor out of college, you know. Ragu and pasta was my idea of a.
Is that the one where you pop it open from the can?
Yes, exactly. Throw on enough Parmesan cheese and that stuff can go down. But yeah, so that was that an emotional affair? No, but it could have been. It was leading there.
Yeah. Does it have to be mutual for it to be an emotional affair?
Hmm.
Because in some sense, he was kind of maybe getting something from you. I mean, like, we don't know. But, like, in a generic situation, whenever somebody gives something over and they feel like they're getting something, even though the other partner is not knowingly or unwillingly participating, like.
Yeah, you know, I've never thought about it that way. I guess it doesn't have to be reciprocated in the fact that one might develop romantic feelings and one might not.
Yeah.
But if the betrayal comes as a, you know, an emotional affair is betrayal because you are getting closer and more intimate and more open with someone else than you are with your partner, then no, that doesn't have to be reciprocated, does it?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like for one partner, even showing or even explaining or describing minute details that they wouldn't necessarily tell their partner, but they feel comfortable telling somebody who's not in the relationship. To them, that could be satisfying some sense of longing or the sense of connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you can get a crush on someone, you know, and develop very strong feelings for them.
Yeah.
And that can cause problems in your marriage. And, you know, you can't serve two masters, right? So when you start to open up with one, you start to close off with the other.
Hmm.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciated what you said earlier on is that if you were to talk to one of your coworkers or your colleagues and your partner was right there, would you be saying the same type of things or would you in some sense try to be a little bit secretive or hide?
You would be secretive. Yeah. I would start to wonder if my spouse was in an emotional affair. If I noticed that we were having less intimacy, less talking, or sex even, but I wasn't seeing, you know, they're keeping their phone hidden. They're, talking about their other person a lot. Like that person's name will come up a lot. Like, oh yeah, well, this is what John would say, or this is what Kim would say, you know, and you're hearing that name come up more and more.
Yeah, there was a trend on TikTok or there was a trend on Instagram. I don't know which one started first, but there'd be a couple at the dinner table or at the lunch table. And the partner, one of the partners is recording, but the other partner has their phone down. And one of the partners will reach and grab for the fork next to the phone and will see if that partner will grab their phone to keep it away from their partner. And if they saw that, then all the people in the comments would say, leave them. There's something going on. Now, granted, I mean, that's just, you know, the crowd, like it's the Coliseum, right? Just kind of yelling out things that they want to happen. But what do you think about that? Like when a partner, you know, shows and tends to behave in a way that's secretive.
Well, this is another really good nuance, right? And so there is a difference between secrecy and privacy. And so,
great point.
Yeah. And so privacy is my internal thoughts or feelings or experiences that I want to keep for me. And secrecy is I want to keep them from you because I'm trying to hide something from you, not because it's a private moment for me, but because I don't want you to catch me in something. I don't want you to know something about me because it might change how you feel about me or want to be with me. And so that's how I kind of differentiate privacy and secrecy. And so I don't think secrets are good for a relationship, but I think privacy is very healthy.
Yeah.
And if you are in a relationship with someone where you kind of operate that way, but you start to think someone's having an affair, it's really easy to want to violate privacy to find out and catch them. Right. And that's, you got to be really careful with that. So
what would you recommend when somebody doesn't want to violate privacy and they want to be respectful, but they also have a sense of, for whatever reason, whether internal or external or both, have a sense that their partner may be hiding something? How would you recommend them going about that conversation?
Well, if it were my marriage, we work really hard on being relational. And so I would sit down and say, I'm having a lot of insecurities right now. I don't know why. I can't really point my finger on it, or I've seen this behavior in you that I don't normally see. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking you to help me with my insecurities. And so this is making it, I'm speaking about me. I'm not speaking about, I think you're cheating. I worry about you not doing the right thing or making the right decision. So I'm coming across this is my problem right now.
Yep.
And I need your help. And I know my husband, he'd be like, how can I help? Well, I need to have access to your phone. How do you feel about that? And if he's not hiding something, he's going to say, sure. If he is hiding something, he's going to be like, well, you're just being paranoid and no, you can't have my phone. No, I don't want you to have my phone. And if I get that response, man, that one might be tough.
Yeah.
That one might be tough.
What would you say to somebody who's like, hey, I'm going to give you this phone, but just know I was meaning to keep these thoughts to myself, but I don't want it to seem or come across as if I'm trying to hide something from you. What do you think about that?
I think that's something you can work together on. Like, are there areas of your, like, is there a journal or notes on your phone you don't want me to see? I won't look at that. Mm-hmm. I won't look at that, but I want to know who you're texting and I want to know who you're calling. And if you're sharing something with someone else that you don't share with me, then I have a problem with that.
Yeah, man, that's going to take a lot of trust and vulnerability on both ends.
And emotional maturity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying though, like if my husband was denying me access and it made no sense. Mm-hmm. He's just denying me access. It's not above me to get in his phone and find out at that point, invaded privacy at that point. But I'm not starting there.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he's going to lie to me and sneak and sleep around on me like that, then I'm going to find it. Yeah. If that's, and then I'm going to kick his butt out of the house.
Yeah. We want to approach confrontation in like a very, hey, we're going to be trusting each other. We're going to be transparent with each other.
Yeah. But I would approach it first with, I'm having a lot of feelings of insecurity here. I need some help.
Yeah. Man, that would be a really good conversation to have, is what happens whenever we struggle with our own insecurities and how do we invite our partners to have the choice to participate in them?
Yeah. And if you're now that's true intimacy. I'm sharing, I'm opening myself up and I'm telling you, I'm having insecurities, right?
Right.
And if we have that kind of, if we're developing that kind of mature relationship where we can even talk about it at that level and our partner, I mean, we typically want to help each other. We typically want to be there and showing up with that kind of vulnerability, I'd have a hard time not wanting to join. Like, how can I help you? Tell me how to help you. What's going on? What am I doing or saying that's causing you to have any of these insecurities? Because I'll stop that right now. Like, whatever that is. And if I'm not willing to do that, if I'm not willing to show up and help you in that way, man, you've got some real problems going on in this relationship beyond what may or may not be an affair.
Wow. Oh, that's so good, Kim. Yeah. No, thank you so much for even, you know, talking about this sensitive topic. I know that it can be kind of controversial because it's emotions. It kind of deals with things that are not really seen, but they do find expressions, and these are expressions that come out, you know, in our friendships, in our jobs, you know. And so thank you so much for handling this topic with such grace and wisdom. All right, guys, that's our show for today. Once again, if you have any questions about relationships, your marriage, or any type of interpersonal relationship, feel free to send that question in a voice memo and or typed up email to askkim@themarriageplace.com. Once again, askkim@themarriageplace.com. You've been tuning in to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and I will see you guys next week. Peace.